Radio Chaser, brought to you by Hats. Wear them on your head. Hats.
Sydney, a city of coffee, beer, wine, and fear. Mainly the fear that drinking so much coffee, wine, and beer was a bad idea. It's to cities what hangovers are to drinking. But we love it. So sit back and take the ultimate cure. 1 hour of pure, uncut Radio Chaser.
Welcome to the show. Andrew Hansen's here. Charles Firth is here. My name is Dom Knight. On the show today, looking for blokes who drink rosé, if there are any in Sydney. And Lego are going to release a brick that isn't made of plastic. Oh, what's it made out of? Human tissue? I'm not actually sure. But it could be very, very interesting. But first, Andrew, the biggest story in the world.
Oh, look, people are still banging on about the Serena Williams cartoon. The Herald Sun have doubled down. They've got a whole front page on the thing this morning complaining that they're not allowed to do cartoons anymore. And they've proven this by publishing an entire front page full of cartoons. I mean, it's really a big story. But I think there's nobody better to tackle this very thorny issue than the Radio Chaser's very own in-house shock jock, smashing sensationalist reporter Firth!
Firth with the facts. G'day, I'm Firth, and I've taken it upon myself to weigh in on that Serena Williams cartoon. God knows it's about time someone had an opinion on it.
Explain it to me, Firth, in your hot explaining voice.
The question is it racist to draw a racist cartoon of a black person looking like a racist gorilla with enormous racist lips?
I don't know, Firth, is it?
No, it's not racist at all. Let's take a look at some gorillas. The thing is, they do have big lips, and one would jump on a tennis racket if it lost the US Open.
Your logic is impeccable.
I mean, would you expect a cartoonist to draw a giraffe with a short neck?
No.
Or a giraffe with only four legs?
They do have four legs.
Exactly. It's all the same thing. Still, the frowny-faced, fun-fudging PC laugh-lynchers say this.
Meh, there's a nasty history of these cartoons in America.
Is there? You've got... After watching some old Pixar movies, I couldn't find any examples. So much for history.
Hi there, Firth. I'm a professor of history at Harvard University.
Not impressed. See? Guns don't kill people. I kill people. Besides, this is Australia. Our history doesn't have black people in it.
Actually, Firth,
I thought you were dead, Mr. History Man. The News Court straight noggins agreed they were just satirising Serena's boohoo behaviour.
Wait, how many legs does she have? I'm confused.
Ultimately, if we can't laugh at how black people look, what can we laugh about? There is literally no other subject in the entire world.
QED, Firth.
As always, I'm Firth with the facts.
I wouldn't call those facts.
This is Radio Chaser on Sydney's 104.9 Triple M.
Guys, look, a huge event coming up in Sydney at the Opera Bar. The Rosé Festival's back in town. Four days. The Daily Telegraph article begins, "Do you view life through rosé-tinted glasses?"
Oh, well, God. Who doesn't? Who doesn't? I mean, this festival defines Sydney, doesn't it?
A bit frothy?
I must say...
A bit pink?
I like rosé. I actually think rosé is the best of all the...
You like a rosé, Charles?
I think red wine's too heavy and everything like that, and white's so bland. Whereas rosé's really nice to drink. I've really got into rosé.
It's halfway, but you are in your 40s now, aren't you, Charles? Well, the Triple M, we are dedicated to exploring the complexity of the man and all of his nuance, from footy fans to rosé drinkers. And
are you implying something about rosé drinking, Dom?
I admire the confidence. Of your love of rosé. I don't mind rosé. It's not my favourite, but I'm happy real men drink rosé is what I'm saying.
But yeah, exactly. Because it's good because it's like it's dry. You can get a really nice dry rosé, but it's also wet.
And it's wet. How do you make it? What do you do? You get red wine and pour some water into it.
Well,
isn't
that exactly what it is?
It's a wine shandy.
There was that case a few years ago where they were just taking Sauv Blanc and they were just pouring a little bit of red wine into it. And that's basically what rosé is, I think, isn't it?
I want to find out.
I don't know.
Are you alone in this, Charles, as having rosés? This is your number one order. This is a big deal.
Yeah, I was drinking last night. It was rosé all night. And nobody impugned my masculinity.
You've got a bit of a rosé blush on your cheeks there, Firthy. 133353. Men who drink rosé, are there any in Sydney? And if you are you going to Opera Bar for the Rosé Festival? 133353. Is Charles Firth the only rosé fan in Sydney? I think he might be.
You know,
has it number one?
You know the best thing about rosé?
What's that?
The alcohol in it.
That is a good point. Radio Chaser on Triple M. Now, Opera Bar, surprise, surprise, is having a four-day rosé festival coming up. And I think the first man to in their ordering is going to be our own Charles Firth, who loves rosé. In fact, he says it's his favourite drink to order. I wonder if he's the only one in Sydney. 133353. I'm not impugning rosé drinkers, but when there's beer and red wine and white wine, why is rosé?
Look, I agree, Dom, that you know, it's more convenient when you have a tinny of beer or something like that. But why don't they just release rosé in tins?
They could.
You'd get best of all worlds.
Then that would solve its wussy image problem, wouldn't it?
Why don't they make personal casks of wine? I'm just thinking, like my daughter's loving those Rafferty's Garden little foil packs.
Yeah.
Why haven't they made the personal cask?
Oh, no, they do. I've seen. Yeah, you can. You can get exactly that style of container, but containing wine. You absolutely can.
What, you squeeze it into your mouth like an alcoholic baby?
Yes, you
wouldn't
totally
want to get them confused, would you? The Rafferty's Garden and the rosé. In a tube. Anyway, let's go to the phones. Anyone else drinking rosé? 133353. Mark in Kensington, hello.
How are you going?
Are you a rosé fan, sir?
I love it. It's awesome. I love all alcohol, but rosé is a particularly good one.
Thank you, Mark. And what do you love about it?
Oh, look, sitting in the sun, beautiful day. You sit there, balcony, with your wife, something like that, just sitting there having a nice, refreshing rosé. It just calms you down.
Yeah, it's a sort of, it's a nice typical, like if you just played croquet or something, it's perfect.
Oh, come on.
There is that, but you know, or you're sitting on a, you're sitting in the French Riviera or somewhere like that.
Yeah, and Mark, you're a man, aren't you?
I am, yeah. Definitely.
Well,
I love
are you?
There you go.
No, I'm asking, are you? Look, I don't know. I don't know about this, Mark. I think a more manly thing would be to drink something much harder. Like, I mean, would you be up for a beer or perhaps a glass of kerosene?
Look, I've probably drunk both at different stages.
Now, Mark, okay. You told our producer there's a venue in Sydney that actually sells only rosé. Tell us more.
I forget where it was. My wife dragged me along. It's in, I think, Darlinghurst or something. It's called Rosé Royale.
Well, you can't even remember going there, Mark. How many rosés did you sink when you were there?
It's going to be in the eastern suburbs, isn't it?
There's rosé in the food, there's rosé in the dessert, there's rosé in everything. Every single thing you buy has rosé in it.
I know where Charles's birthday party is going to be this year.
What, it's a rosé main course. What is it, like a chicken parmigiana cooked in rosé?
It'd be in dessert. So they'd have bean the sauce. So they'd have, you'd have a chicken... Yeah,
there you go. Mark, thank you for the intelligence. Let's move on, though. Matt's in Wollongong. Hello, Matt.
G'day, guys. How are you going?
What are your thoughts on rosé?
I'm a fan. It's the socially acceptable day drink.
That's a good line.
Okay, that's making more sense now because you can drink it at 10 a.m.
If we make a tinny of rosé, it should have on it the socially acceptable day drink as the slogan.
What time do you drink your rosé?
As long as I can trademark that, you can do whatever you want.
Yeah. What time do you drink your rosé?
It's a lunchtime special. So you have a meal with your missus and a bottle of rosé. Goes fantastic.
No, look, Matt, I disagree with you there. I think it's the perfect breakfast wine.
sort of porridge wine.
I got up this morning, had some Sultana bran and a rosé.
I once had a 35-year-old bottle of port for breakfast.
Really? Well, it's sweet, isn't it? It's kind of, you know, whole bottle, did you?
I shared it with my mate. We're in Slovenia.
It's all sounding terribly healthy to me. Let's move on. Thank you, though. Rick's in Manly. Hello, Rick.
G'day, how's it going, guys?
Are we going to sell you one of our rosé tinnies, the socially acceptable day drink?
Possibly. I discovered rosé almost 20 years ago in South Africa, but when it became the tosser's choice of wine replacing Chardonnay, I've come back a lot.
Yeah, well, you have to, don't you?
I mean, it's the new Chardonnay. That's what it is.
Yeah.
There are rosé socialists out there. Charles, are you a rosé socialist?
Oh, shut up. No, look. Yeah, that's true, isn't it? It is the new Chardonnay. True.
Well, who drinks Chardonnay now? I mean, who's that for now? Is that for, like, UFC cage fighters now?
Probably is. Thank you, Rick. That's fantastic. I like the sound of this rosé tinny. Yeah. The socially acceptable day drink. It's the new Chardonnay.
I love it.
I think we can market it. All right. Actually, coming up, we've actually prepared an ad for another product, a bloke-friendly rosé. We'll have that for you in a few moments here on Radio Chaser.
Radio Chaser, brought to you by Hats. Just like shoes, but for your head. Hats.
Yes, great to have Hats on board Radio Chaser as today's sponsor. We've had a lot of interesting brands lately, but really Hats. I mean, how do you leave home without a hat in this day and age?
Well, and the other thing is it's not very windy today, so it's perfect hat weather.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, there's no better day. In fact, this is the only day that we are sponsored by Hats, just as well.
Yeah. I'm very impressed that they got it together so quickly with a perfect hat-wearing day.
It's a great product, the hat. Mm. Great product. It's got a bit of a history. It was invented as long as 5 years ago. Great stuff.
Barnaby Joyce would just be a balding dickhead without a hat, wouldn't he? All right. Now, speaking of rosé, guys, we've been sort of spitballing some ideas here. I think we like the idea of a slimline kind of can, a tinny of rosé.
Yep. Mm.
And look, we actually have an ad for this product. I think it's going to be pretty popular.
Hey, wine buffs, fancy a drop of rosé?
Oh, I like rosé, but isn't it a bit girly?
Not anymore, mate. From the makers of Lady Doritos comes another new product that can finally be enjoyed by the opposite sex. Rosé for men.
At last.
We call it Brosé.
That sounds masculine, yet classy.
Go on, chug it down.
It's fruity and delicious without undermining my fragile masculinity.
Oh, this rosé isn't for the girls at the book club. Brosé is pink wine for blokes.
Oh, don't call it pink. I said my masculinity was fragile.
Brosé. Look for the black bottle with the bleeding skull on it.
Is the wine itself any different from regular rosé?
No.
Thank God, I adore rosé.
Brosé.
I mean, brosé.
Triple M's Radio Chaser.
Guys, incredible news story here. Alan Jones and his radio stations have been ordered to pay $3.75 million in damages for some broadcasts that they made. It's the biggest defamation payout in the history of this country. And the news is, in case you're considering it, you can't say that somebody killed somebody if they didn't, because then they'll sue.
Damn, that's really bad. Well, that's bad for us.
Yeah, but, that's a real pity.
Yeah, it's bad for radio announcers around the country.
It's terrible. I had lots of people I wanted to broadcast who just killed people today, and they hadn't, and I thought it would be fun, and you just can't.
You can't say anything anymore if you can't say that.
Look, I was listening to Alan Jones this morning, and they're being very cautious at 2GB today. Well, almost everyone.
2GB.
I'm Alan Jones. Now, the courts have awarded a record defamation payment against me at this radio station today, $3.7 million. And I can't even say what I think of that moronic and I've put on my angriest pink tie today. I'm that riled. And I will say this because it's a disgrace. And I call upon Scott Morrison to change the defamation laws in this country so I can say that kill the people. They'll probably sue over that too, those in a woodpile. Well, I plan to speak my mind. I don't care if I have to move out of my penthouse and live on Struggle Street like all of you. Wait a moment. Yes, I do. Legal team, can you beep that bit out, please? Thank you. I'm Alan Jones, and I'm guilty.
Radio Chaser, brought to you by Hats. It's hair for bald people. Hats.
Yeah, look, I don't want to be accused of cash for comment, but I love a hat. I do love a hat.
Oh, nice to have a hat, especially on you, Dommy, being as bald as you are. But look, somebody who doesn't need a hat is a Lego man, and Lego have just announced they're not going to be made of plastic anymore. Isn't this extraordinary? Mm. Like, the one thing that is made of plastic in this life is the Lego brick.
Is this Craig Rucastle spoiling more plastic? Straws, plastic bags, and now bloody Lego.
Now bloody Lego. Now he's banned single-use sets of Lego. Well,
what are they making them out of instead?
Well, I haven't worked it out. This is a long-term plan.
Can I bet? I bet you it'll be elephant tusks.
Ivory Lego. What about bamboo? That sort of, you know how you get annoying bamboo products that are just not as good?
Sort of soft. Yeah.
What about uranium?
There's a thought for you, Lego. We'll take it all on board, Lego. Look, we've got all the facts for you here today on Lego.
Fact that's amazing.
Did you know Ray Martin has not visited Denmark since 1988 when he was mixed up in an actual box of Lego for 6 weeks?
Fact.
Just saying, he looks like a Lego man? I think he does. Well, Lego bricks connect neatly with one another and not quite so neatly with the flesh of your foot.
Fact.
There are 400 billion pieces of Lego in the world, all of which are strewn across the floor of my living room.
Fact. The most difficult kind of Lego to build into a tower is Lego's pasta sauce.
So very factual.
Types of Lego include Star Wars Lego, Harry Potter Lego, Lego Ninjago, and erotic boudoir Lego. That one's not suitable for kids.
Fact.
Globally, children waste 5 billion hours a year playing with Lego when they could be playing Fortnite on their computer screens.
Fact.
Lego does not adequately prepare adults for being grown-ups. I am unable to purchase a replacement plastic head of hair that slots cleanly onto my bald scalp.
Fact.
Very true. Do you need another fact from me about Lego? I got one. Here's one. The best-selling themed Lego set is Star Wars Lego. The worst-selling is ABC News Breakfast Lego.
Fact.
Welcome to the exciting world of science. It's fantastic.
It is fantastic. And guys, big news from the world of science. They've discovered the oldest animal in the world.
Ooh. Guess what, really?
Yeah, yeah.
What, like as in age or the one that's been around on the planet for a long time?
No, as in age. The oldest living organism, like animal in the world.
It's Philip Ruddock, isn't it?
It's an Icelandic clam known as an ocean quahog. Guess how old this
what? Because I've heard of like tortoises that lived to like 150.
Yeah.
There was that one that hung out with Charles Darwin and he's still around or something.
Yeah.
So he must be, this is what, like 160, 170?
No. The oldest living tortoise is 215 years old.
No.
I'll give you a hint. This is over twice as old as that.
A quahog.
No. A quahog.
Clam.
507 years old.
So if you were served one of these, you wouldn't think it was exactly fresh. This is not the freshest seafood I've ever experienced.
It's a bit muttony.
Gosh, imagine a clam chowder with old person smell. That'd be disgusting.
No, but there is just one tiny little slip up
that these
scientists had, which is that they were really desperate to find out how old this clam was. So they opened it up and they killed the clam.
Oh, are there any spares? I mean, is this the only one?
That's
the only clam.
Yeah.
That's like an episode of Star Trek. You know how they're always like the prime directives don't mess with the planet you go and land on? And every episode is like a dilemma. They broke the prime directive. The baseline of animal experimentation is don't kill the world's oldest living creature.
Yeah, what a shame. And the stories it would have had to tell. I mean, it would have had the most interesting life, clam.
Yeah, that's
sitting
right.
On a rock.
It was called Ming. The researchers, after it died, they called it Ming because they went, it was actually around during the Ming dynasty.
I thought it was because it was like a vase that they'd broken. Hang on a sec. Does that mean that I was right and Philip Ruddock is the world's oldest living organism?
You are right.
Barnaby Joyce, he's had a rough time lately. He's, you know, the kid, the whole thing, losing the deputy prime ministership. And what he tried to do to kind of resuscitate his career and his personal brand was to write an autobiography. It's called Weatherboard and Iron. You might have seen him plugging it on every single show in the country for about a week or two. The stats have come in, the official book scan sales stats. He sold 1,570.
I mean, how did he possibly think that a book where he describes in intimate detail his sex life was going to sell more? Who in Australia? Well, obviously, 1,500 people want to hear about that. That's a turnoff.
Yeah, that's more than I thought. Because I remember in the interviews, he was like, oh, look, before I hooked up with Vicky, I was like playing around with other women. And I just went, actually, no, I turned the radio off at that point.
That's right. This shouldn't be a tell-all. He should have gone around the country saying, this is not a tell-all book. This is a book where
it's a tell-nothing book.
Yeah, this is a tell-nothing. He would have sold tons.
Sad thing is we all know his sex face, don't we? It's the beetroot. We've all seen it in our nightmares. But look, he is doing better than the Mark Latham Alan Jones cookbook, which has sold, I think, 752. So that's something. No, 754, I apologise. Who would buy? Yes. Apparently all the recipes are from Latham. Jones just wanted to help him out. Anyway, look, Barnaby Joyce is keen to up sales and he's put out an ad. We're going to play it for him just to help him out. Here it is.
G'day, it's Barnaby Joyce here, former deputy PM and staff shagger. Now, only 1,570 fair dinkum Aussie legends have bought me book, Weatherboard 9. Mind you, I haven't believed numbers since they said the globe was warming when Armidale's still as cold in winter as my ex-wife. I don't know why nobody's buying the book. It's full of stuff about my political beliefs and my childhood and... Oh, yeah. Actually, sounds duller than a Scott Morrison prayer meeting. Still, I've got to move more copies. My child support payments are bigger than my hat, so you'd better bloody buy it, Australia. Or I'll be forced to make a living the way we do on the cattle farm by selling my semen for stud. Actually, there's an idea. 5 kids and counting. Get yourself some Joyce Juice, Australia. Every child comes with 1,000 free copies of my book.
Radio Chaser on Sydney's Triple M.